This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good Monday morning to you. I'm Kim St. Ange filling in for Mark, who is back tomorrow. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. I know we were off on Thursday and Friday, and I feel like a lot has happened since then, and we have a lot to talk about, including with Jesse Jane Duff at 8:20. And even in the sports world, I feel like a lot happened. So I'm looking forward to talking to Tom Ackerman at 8:35. You know, the snow is officially coming down here in downtown St. Louis. It actually is really pretty. Nothing compared to what we saw on Saturday. So hopefully there's no issues on the road. I know Sue Thomas is tracking all of that. Today is also Cyber Monday. You had Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, which, by the way, I feel kind of bad for those small busineses because we had, well, like 4 or 5 inches of snow maybe in the St. Louis area. And so I don't know how much. I mean, I hope people got out still and were able to shop. I feel like one of the best parts about the snow on Saturday was that it was so pretty, but it wasn't really sticking to the roads. I don't think I even left the house that day, but it didn't seem to be causing any major issues. But anyway, more snow moving our way or moving into the area right now. Very pretty, but it should move out later, but it's still really, really cold. So I think it's fair to say if winter is here. I don't know how many more days we're going to get that are, you know, this random 60 or 70 degrees. All right. So like I mentioned, we have Jesse Jane Duff. We have to talk about this whole Hunter Biden thing, the pardon that, you know, no one should be shocked about this. We all knew this was coming, especially after, you know, Joe Biden's own party pushed him out. I believe Nancy Pelosi was a big, you know, part of that. He's like, you know, I'm a lame duck president. I have nothing to lose. I'm pardoning my son. I think he would have done it regardless. But especially now, this was bound to happen, despite him saying a million times, oh, no, I'm not. Despite Karine Jean-Pierre, every single press conference, her daily press briefing saying, oh, I'm not going to do that. He's not going to do that. Yeah. All right. Let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We should say, here are the conditions for you staying. You have to pay a stiff fine because you came here illegally. You have to pay back taxes. And you have to try to learn English.
Is Hillary Clinton secretly MAGA? That was Hillary back in 2008 talking about migrants, the so-called newcomers. She says, you know, we should force them to learn English and they should pay stiff fines. What?
To my party, do not underestimate AOC. She's young, she's vibrant, she's attractive. I think she's wrong on everything, but she does have real grassroots support.
Look, I know we're still celebrating Trump's landslide win, and we should be, but we all know that the Dems are already cooking something up for 2028, and there's Monica Crowley, the former Trump official, saying, guys, AOC's young, she has a big fan base, you know, maybe she's a contender for 2028.
The fact that Kash Patel is profoundly unqualified for this job is not even, like, a matter for debate.
Turn on any of the mainstream media outlets today, and you're going to see the left absolutely losing its mind over Trump's pick for FBI director, and that is Kash Patel.
But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Well, that didn't age well, like I said, because, you know, I can't really blame him. As a father trying to look out for his son, like, in that regard, I don't even fault him. You know, I'm trying to put myself in that position and think, okay, what would I do? I'd have a really hard time not pardoning my own child. Now, his reasoning is ridiculous. I almost wish he obviously wouldn't come out and just say that. I almost wish he would have, because I think more people could empathize. But no, he puts out some statement yesterday, Joe Biden does, talking about his son being unfairly prosecuted, targeted, and he feels like that this was basically just his political opponents in Congress trying to attack him and oppose my election, he says. He goes on to say that no reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion, that he was signaled out only because he is my son. I'm not sure I agree with that. What I think is concerning for me is the way that this, what this encompasses, okay? It says that he has been pardoned from any offenses he has committed or may have committed during the period from January 1st, 2014 through December 1st of 2024. Well, why is that important? Okay, because we're talking about almost an 11-year time frame. Well, let's go back to 2014, because that's when Hunter Biden joined the board at Burisma. Okay, remember the big guy? Remember the conversations that were had supposedly with those leaders, the foreign leaders that Hunter was meeting with? Devin Archer was there. He was testifying about this, where he would call the big guy, aka his dad, Joe Biden, put him on speakerphone, and they sat there and tried to tell America that all Joe was doing was talking about the weather, letting everyone know that it's sunny and there's a chance of rain, a 30% chance of rain later on in Washington, D.C. No, he used the influence. I think what bothers me about this pardon is it's so much bigger than just the tax and the gun charges, which, by the way, Hunter was supposed to be sentenced Wednesday. So that's why there's the timing of this. I also think it may have had something to do with the timing of Kash Patel being named FBI director. I think this is a plan on Joe Biden's part to protect the entire Biden family from all of the corruption. The Biden family, it's not the cool Uncle Joe or whatever people were calling him when he was the VP for Obama. And they'd walk out there together, you know, with their aviator glasses on. And he looked like the kind of guy that was just your silly uncle who would make funny jokes and would be maybe the kind of guy you'd want to get a drink with. He's not that guy. He is so corrupt. His whole family is corrupt. And I think this is exactly what he's trying to do. Trump was posting about this on Truth Social, and he says, you know, oh, okay, so is this going to include the J6 hostages who have now been in prison for years? Trump is saying that the pardon for Hunter Biden is an abuse and miscarriage of justice. I think what's also interesting is that you have Democrats who are coming out against what Joe Biden did and saying, you know, this goes too far. You shouldn't have done this. I'm torn about it. I don't know that I think he should have done it, but I empathize, and only from a parent's perspective. Now, being a mother, I just think about what I would do. Now, it is funny when you go back to the tweet, the post, whatever it's called, X, from I think May of this year when Trump was on trial and Biden posted something saying, "No one is above the law." everyone's just resharing that, and they're just, you know, saying, well, why don't you just make a little tweak to that post and just say no one is above the law except, you know, my son Hunter. Anyone from the Biden family, they're above the law, but nobody else is. So nobody on the left should have any frustration or concerns when Trump comes in and does something like this, especially with the J6 people who have been sitting in jail for 4 years, many of whom did nothing, and they've not even had a trial. Ridiculous. We want to talk about some of this with Jessie Jane Duff. She's coming up after.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping everything home. Come straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part? Speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For the break.
Then we need to decrease what I call government creep with personnel. The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big, and the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I'd take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jessie Jane Duff joining us now, which she does every Monday morning. Jessie Jane, I have to get your take on Trump picking Kash Patel for FBI director.
It's a phenomenal opportunity for the FBI to get completely reformed because he has made it very clear that's exactly what his goal is. And I think that really putting it out there right up front that we're not going to tolerate the weaponization of our intelligence agencies again to go after Americans, because that's exactly what we witnessed over the last 4 years. And President Trump clearly stated, they're not after me, they're after you, I'm just in their way. And they have to dismantle what had happened. I don't know that he's going to shut down the Hoover building. I mean, I think that that's a very, I don't think one man can actually do that because of the budgets and everything that is actually authorized by Congress. But do I think that he can essentially clean house? Absolutely. Because there's too many people that had worked within the FBI that have actually been directly tied to massive overreach and clearly admitting that they knew that there was questionable information in the dossier that was presented to them way back in 2015 that allowed the FBI to present to the FISA court surveillance upon the entire Trump campaign. Like, this is reprehensible that a particular agency was able to get away with abuse of their power. And he's made a very clear statement. And I think it's refreshing for all of us.
No, I agree. I do kind of wonder. I mean, I agree. I don't think he's going to get the FBI headquarters shut down and turn it into a museum like he talked about back in September. But like, how much real change do you think this new cabinet could make, assuming that they're all confirmed by the Senate? You know, he talks about, for example, dismantling the Department of Education, which I would support. But how much of this do you think that is actually attainable?
I think we have to start somewhere. So without sounding like the negative Nelly that they can't get a lot of it done, they can get a lot done. So the glass for me is half full versus half empty. If they start working on this, and there's going to be resistance, of course, you've got a lot of establishment that isn't necessarily always bad, but there is establishment process, procedures. How do you overcome these deficiencies when the federal government moves out of these particular areas and you have now gaps that may not be getting covered appropriately? So you have a lot of logistics that have to happen before you can just, you know, do a vacuum cleaner and suck everybody out of an office building and then discard them into the horizon. However, I expect that there's going to be a significant amount of progress done in the first 2 years that we have never seen probably in the last 20, only because it's the first president to come along and say enough already. The government has had such overreach and we have such massive debt that all we have done is created ways of spending more and more versus being more effective and more efficient with taxpayer dollars. Now, will they set the stage for 2028 too? This probably would take two administrations to really get to the goals that many of us idealistically want to see. But just keep in mind, Democrats are not going anywhere. You're not going to get rid of the left that loves government, that always has believed in government, and the party of our grandfathers that believed that government would be there to help us and rescue us. That mindset is not going to go away overnight. Even conservatives that voted for President Trump, many of them are making their income off of some form of government benefit or government revenue, or are actually employed by the government. So you've got to always keep in mind that the very people that elected you can turn around and switch parties by 2028, and we're back to, you know, the same song and dance. So you've got to make these reforms very clear, very succinct, so that the next administration doesn't come in and absolutely try to rebuild entire processes that were only clogging our system.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I'm sure you're really stunned that Joe Biden pardoned his son Hunter, right?
Oh, God. You know, I hate saying, you probably hear it in my voice. Eyeball roll went with that.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but I am disappointed that he just, you know, this was all smoke and mirrors on what they were saying. It just demonstrated, I mean, he tweeted it out, you know, nobody's above the law, mm-hmm. and here he pardons his kid. It's not surprising. Let's just take it. There wouldn't be a president out there, Democrat or Republican, that would not probably pardon their son.
Right.
Let's be very honest about that. And the public humiliation of his son and what he had to go through, honestly, that is not my biggest issue. My biggest issue is the cover-ups, the people that covered up all the financial money that was coming from our foreign adversaries because of Hunter Biden's activities and how Joe Biden got in office because of this. All of the IRS agents, I'm sorry, the FBI agents that had to whistleblow on what they were being told to cover up because they were supposed to essentially look into it because of that, what they were doing with their taxes, the violations in the IRS, everything. I'm more, you know, the grown man is doing what the daddy was having him do, and the daddy was fully aware of it. The cover-up is the bigger problem for me. How many of these banks, you know, did not exploit this and tell the public? It didn't leak to the press. This never got revealed till after they overplayed their hand, had the Mueller report going after President Trump. They came up dry, which caused them to appoint another special counsel to find out, well, then where did this all come from? And that's when James Comer was able to unravel everything. It wasn't until Trump got in office that we were able to unravel every single thing that they did.
I agree. It's about the cover-up. Jesse Jane Duff, thanks as always.
Everybody take the hill. We got a long week. Joe Biden thinks his son is out of jail. They're going to go play now.
I love those little endings that she has. I wonder if she just comes up with those on the fly. They're always creative. After the break, we're talking to Tom Ackerman. I'm Kim St. Ange in for Mark.
Earlier this week, the St. Louis community lost an innocent young man to senseless violence. Colin Brown was a hockey player. He played the game with passion, with determination, and with a love for the game and for his teammates. He was a loving son, a doting older brother, and a caring friend. Please join the Blues and the entire hockey community in a moment of silence as we honor the spirit of Colin Brown and lift his family and friends in our thoughts and in our hearts. Thank you.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman joining us on the phone now. And Tom, I just think that was such a classy move by the Blues this weekend to honor the CBC hockey player who was just senselessly shot and killed the other week. Driving
it's just such a horrible, hey, Kim, it's such a horrible tragedy. It's just, it's weighing on so many people in our community. And yes, I mean, so many people are thinking about the family, about the CBC community. Our hearts are with them. And certainly the St. Louis Blues recognizing that a youth hockey player losing his life at such a young age, it's just unthinkable. And for the Blues to honor him in that way was certainly very poignant and important, and now we move forward as best we can.
Now, unfortunately, they couldn't pull off the win, right? They went to overtime, and then they lost in overtime?
They did. They earned a point because of Jordan Binnington. I mean, he made, again, unbelievable saves, one after the other. I think, actually, his best save was the one, well, there's a whole bunch, but there was one in particular that he made that was like Dominic Hasek, where he was on his back, sliding all over the place, and the puck got knocked away momentarily, and then the Flyers actually scored on the rebound. But it was an incredible, ridiculous highlight reel save. He made one after the other, and that's why the Blues got the point for Jim Montgomery in his home debut. The Flyers won the game in overtime 28 seconds in. The Blues tied it 20 seconds to go with Jake Neighbors on a 6-on-4. The Blues played fine, but, I mean, Binnington bailed him out again and again and again. He does it. And, you know, they have their record because of him, and it could be a lot worse. Now, I do think that if you look at the standings right now, they're on the doorstep of a possible playoff contention. They have to be able to play really well consistently. So, meaning, and I talked to Chris Kerber about this yesterday, every 10 games that you play, you got to be a game or two over 500. So, right now, in their last three games under Jim Montgomery, they're 2-0-1. They've won two. They've lost an overtime game. So this is good. But now it's going to get tough. They have to go to Winnipeg and play tomorrow. Winnipeg is, if not the best team in the league, one of them. They've got to go to Edmonton. They have to go to Calgary. They have to go to Vancouver. And it is a tough Western Canadian road trip that they're about to embark on. So it will not be easy, but nothing is easy in the NHL, and so the Blues will have to get ready to rock and roll here. It is going to be a huge challenge for them, but we'll see.
I mean, not only is there a lot of pressure on Jim Montgomery, who's taking over as coach in the middle of the season, but I would guess that there's a lot of just time it takes to get used to his coaching style on the player's end.
I think that he probably is in a really good position here. He's been grabbed by the Blues in a matter of minutes, it seemed like, after he was fired by the Bruins, and gets to fall into a much better situation. He's in a very familiar place. He's with a team that has some young players that could use his guidance, but some veteran players who can assist Montgomery in doing what they're supposed to do, which is score goals, play good two-way hockey, on defense, play good, solid defense. Especially these veterans need to be great when they're healthy, and they need to get healthy here. But when the Blues are at full strength, they should be a good, hard-hitting hockey team with a lot of skill. I mean, the Blues are a speedy team with more skill than they used to have. So Montgomery's in a decent situation because I think the expectations are not to go on to win the Cup like he was in Boston. He has a five-year contract to work with, so he is the perfect fit for this situation. Not that there isn't pressure on him to now turn this around, there is, but he does have that security of a contract. And then as for, you know, the rest of the team, they've got, these are big boys. They get paid a lot of money to do a job, and it's time for someone to light a fire under them and hold them accountable, and that's what Montgomery's going to do. He's an elite coach. He is, and the Blues wasted no time in getting him. So I do think that it is looking up for them, but I'd be cautious if it were me to say that they are going to turn around. Because like I said, these four games, it could go south pretty quickly, and then you're scratching your head. I think this is a long-term play here. If you're a Blues fan, you want to see how do they play over. I'm not talking about the next 3 years, like this whole season.
Mm-hmm.
How does this season play out? Can they do enough to make the playoffs? I think that they can, but they're going to have to be consistent.
You know, because Mark's not here today, we don't have to talk about Kentucky. But what we should talk about is that Mizzou game against Arkansas, because I was so happy for Brady Cook running that touchdown in the last couple minutes.
Yeah, he ran it in with about a minute and a half to go, and then they punch it in with a two-point conversion to Luther Burden. So that's, you know, fitting, because Cook and Burden playing in their last game at Faurot Field. Luther Burden is going to go on to the NFL and be an absolute superstar. I mean, he is going to be one of the best. He's like, he's like Jamar Chase of the Bengals. See, he's a running back playing wide receiver. I mean, he is going to be unbelievable in the league. But anyway, Brady Cook, I don't know what his future holds. He could play professionally somewhere if he wanted to. Maybe he'd be a great St. Louis Battlehawk. But anyway, I think I love the way that it ended for him at Faurot with a victory, and I am happy for him. At the same time, you know, I always wonder what would have been had he been fully healthy. He was never fully healthy this season, and it cost them. Alabama shut him out. South Carolina game. If they win that game, Kim, they're probably in the playoff discussion right now, because they're 10-2, and if you look around the CFP rankings that are going to come out tomorrow, there are a lot of two-loss and even three-loss teams being creeping back into this thing. So, you know, it's tough. But that said, it's also a great two-year run for Cook and the Tigers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz in the last 2 years has gone 20-5 and still a game to go. It won't be a playoff game. It's going to be a bowl game.
Right.
But they had a good year. I mean, they beat Boston College, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Auburn, not a great team, but they beat them, and they did it all, you know, in very close games. They even Buffalo actually turned out to be not bad at 8-4. But, you know, they did what they had to do. I just don't know that they were a great team. I mean, you know, if you look over the body of work, maybe they just are what they are. They're a good SEC team that needs to continue to recruit hard to get the elite players so they can become an elite playoff team. They just weren't good enough this year, but the job they've done over the last 2 years is remarkable, and what they've done to recruit here in the city of St. Louis. I mean, all these St. Louis kids that are doing it, Cody Schrader last year, Burden and Cook this year.
So I know you probably have to go, but real quick, any bowl predictions for Mizzou? Because you were initially talking about Nashville, right?
Yeah, I actually don't have to go because I'm off today, so I could sit here all day if you want.
Tom Ackerman, you talk to us on your day off?
Of course.
Wow.
Are you kidding?
Thank you.
Yeah, I haven't been on KMOX today. This is all 97.1 FM talk.
So anyway, appreciate that.
You know, the last projection I saw, which was last week, was Mizzou, Michigan in the Music City Bowl, but I haven't looked to see if that's been updated. Michigan with a great win over Ohio State. They'll be sought after by a lot of bowls because of the fans that they bring. Mizzou brings a lot of fans, too. I think it'd be a perfect place for both of them to go have fun and party. And it, for Mizzou, you know, a chance to beat another brand name and finish on a strong note.
Well, let's just hope that nothing happens like what went down at the Ohio State-Michigan game. The flag and the all-out
brawl. Neither of those teams will be winning a Musial Award anytime soon. that was pretty rough. It was pretty ugly, without a doubt. And by the way, we should say that Illinois also had a very good season. They finished 9-3. They beat Northwestern. They had a real and same situation. I think if you're an Illinois fan, you look at it and say, hey, we lost to Oregon and Penn State, tough places to play. We lost to Minnesota. Wish we could have had that back. and at 10-2, it'd feel better than 9-3. But 9-3 is a heck of a year. And they are building a foundation also for success. So college football is looking up around here.
Yep. I'm eager to see actually which bowl game they go to. So at least we have that to look forward to. Hey, Tom, thanks for talking to us on your day out. I didn't realize you were off. So thank you for making time for us.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime. You guys take care.
Have a great week. When we come back, did you guys see that Jaguar ad? It's just so woke. I mean, they had like guys in dresses doing weird things. They didn't even show a car or say the word car. You weren't even sure what you were looking at. Well, I'm happy to report there are two companies who have just come out with very pro-family commercials. I love them. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Final segment on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Before the break, I was talking about the ad Jaguar recently put out. It was weird. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. It's men wearing really brightly, I think men, it's kind of hard to tell, to be honest, and maybe that was very intentional. But they're wearing brightly colored outfits, I think dresses, and just doing weird movements, and somehow that's supposed to be an ad for a car company. Like, you don't even see a car. They don't say the word car. And we've seen that time and again. Like, I hate to keep bringing up the whole Bud Light thing, but you think about like Dylan Mulvaney and all these companies that have just been so out of touch, I think, with what their target audience is looking for and who they are. And so you're just dumbfounded when you see companies who are facing backlash from doing just that. And then another company does it. It's like, how did you not sit down at a table and think, you know what? This did not do well for them. The sales tanked. Maybe we shouldn't repeat that, you'd think. Finally, some companies maybe are listening and taking action, because I'll tell you what, I saw these two ads recently, one of which is from Apple, believe it or not, that, I mean, I was tearing up. Seriously. This is for the AirPods Pro 2. And it has a hearing aid feature that you can, put the sound up more or less, depending on, I guess, what your needs are. And let me just set the scene for you, because I want to play part of this ad for you. It's this dad who obviously is hard of hearing, and, you know, he's watching his kids do all of these things, and he can't really hear them. And then I'm assuming it's his wife hands him these Apple AirPods. Listen to this.
John, listen.
Light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
He's
so excited. Here you go,
Haley. Say happy birthday.
Look at the picture of me and you, Daddy.
Look at the moon.
It could make me tear up now. It's just such a sweet commercial. And I think so many people, myself included, have been craving that. We're just so tired of all this stuff being shoved down our throats. Like, we just watch TV and we see all this woke stuff everywhere. And it's so nice and so refreshing when a company, Apple of all companies, comes out with an ad like that. It's worth your time to actually go watch it, because even just hearing it, you can tell. It's just such a sweet ad. I mentioned there's another company that's doing the same thing, and it's Volvo. And they show this couple, and they're raising their kid and just showing the different stages of life and how precious it is. And I'm just so thrilled. I'm really hopeful that a page has turned, and that a lot of these companies that maybe were considering pushing out this political nonsense, trying to indoctrinate our kids, that maybe they're going to think twice now with Trump coming in. Obviously, these companies have every right to do what they please, but they're going to pay for it, just like Target paid for it, just like Bud Light. The backlash is going to be there. If you're going to make a stupid decision like this, you have to deal with the ramifications of that. And the companies that just can't seem to learn from other companies' mistakes, well, sorry about that. You know, sorry, not sorry. Maybe that's what I should say, because I don't feel bad for you. If you can't seem to understand that people are sick and tired, the majority of people at this point are sick and tired of seeing that stuff push everywhere. I don't know where your head is, but you got to get it out of somewhere. I mentioned how this girl I follow, Lindy, she's one of my friends, she posted about how the St. Louis County Library is saying to inviting teens to come out to this RuPaul's Drag Race trivia. So drag queen, basically trivia. That's our tax dollars at work right there. That's the St. Louis County Library, the Grants View branch. So just know, if you live in that area, your tax dollars are supporting all of that stuff, and they're trying to get kids to come. All right, hey, that's going to do it for us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I appreciate all of you spending part of your Monday morning with us. Yes, thank you. Mark is back tomorrow. Brian Kilmeade up next, and then, of course, Annie Fry. Mark Reardon will be here with you later. Be careful if you're just leaving the house. It is snowing. Not too bad, but the roads could certainly be slick. I hope you all have a fantastic Monday. We will see you back here tomorrow morning starting at 5 o'clock. Mark is back.
Get more at 971talk.com.